Today in our hot seat, we have Mila Golovin, CEO of Masterword Services. Hello, Mila. Good to have you.
Thank you for having me. Hello, everybody.
Hi, Mila. Are you ready for this? Shall we do it?
No one's never ready for the hot seat, but let's go.
Welcome to C-Suite Hot Seat, the show where we put C-level executives from language service providers of all sizes in the hot seat. We will ask tough questions and get inspired answers. Our hosts today are Nimzi's Inga Boonen, Chief Growth Officer, and Sarah Hickey, VP of Research.
So Mila, in one sentence, what is it that Masterword does?
We provide language services, language and communication access. Mm-hmm. That would be one sentence. That would be the 30-second commercial.
Perfect.
I love it. Really good. You are both the CEO and the founder of Masterword. You just celebrated your 30th anniversary. So I'm almost thinking you already dreamt of doing this when you were a child. Is that right? Or what was the career that you dreamt of having as a kid?
Well, actually, I wanted to be a veterinarian. And my dream was to save elephants and lions in Africa when I was growing up. I was trying to figure out how I would be in Africa helping save the animals. But then it changed. I always had the passion for languages. I always loved languages. And I grew up in the Soviet Union behind the Iron Curtain. So our dreams often come from our voids. And my biggest void growing up was access to information. Everything was controlled by the government. We couldn't listen to even a radio in a foreign language. So I always wanted to give people access to information. And that's kind of the way our tagline happened, connecting people across language and culture, which grew to have a still important meaning today, you know, building bridges, connecting each other. But that's where it started.
Wow, that's beautiful. And I'm sure that Sarah will have more questions on the access to information piece. I want to go back to the animals. Do you currently deal with animals? Do you have pets, or asked differently, how do you spend your free time when you're not working?
Well, I do love animals. I did not end up saving animals in Africa, but, you know, do different volunteer work with animal shelters and always helping different animals as they happen to come along. But the way I spend my free time is really learning, and I love learning. Learning about human behavior, learning about vicarious trauma has been a big part of my life, because I started as an interpreter myself, and I personally got affected by vicarious trauma when interpreting for child protective services and at different hospital situations. So I thought I was kind of going crazy. And one day ended up finding myself in a self-help section of Barnes and Nobles. And that's where my journey started, learning about how trauma affects people, what is trauma. And so learning about that is one of the things that I do with my free time. And then in general, I love learning. I love learning about cultures and traveling. So when I'm not working, I'm traveling.
Have you been to Africa in the meantime?
I've only been to portions of it. I've only been to Northern Africa, but I do have plans and would love to actually travel across the country one day.
And if you were given the chance to visit three different countries, and they don't need to be in Africa, but which ones are top of your list?
Well, one of them would definitely be Africa, because it's interesting how when we turn on the news, depending which country we're in, the images of those other countries are portrayed differently. So what I understand is Africa is actually quite amazing, both with wildlife and it has a lot of development, beautiful cities and the beautiful people. So Africa is definitely on the list. Mm-hmm. Another one of my favorite places is Italy. a combination of great culture, great people, amazing food, no matter where you go. Probably also Guatemala and Latin American countries, where they have incredible history with indigenous populations. So something of great interest of mine as well. Mm.
I've been to Guatemala and I can highly recommend it as well.
Yeah. Oh, good. It's going to go on my list as well then. And my last question is, what's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
There were actually two. One was from a mentor of mine in school, Bill Sherrill, and he said, when in business, you want to use the approach of ready, fire, aim. Because if you do it right in a normal way, ready, aim, fire, you're going to miss the time, you're going to miss the spot. So don't be afraid to make mistakes. If you think you want to do something, go for it the whole way, and then readjust in the process. And the second, what I consider best piece of advice is don't look at challenges as difficulties. Don't look at failures as setbacks. Turn your perspective and see what gifts you're given. What are the lessons? So don't look at things as in the way, look at things as on the way. And that change of perspective, no matter what the challenge is, no what is a perceived setback, always has a valuable lesson. So those are the two best pieces of advice that I've received.
Fantastic.
Really valuable. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Okay. And thanks, Mila. Thanks for sharing so much. I feel like we all got to know you a little bit better now. So now it's time for the tougher questions, if you're ready. I'm really curious to find out. So I want to start with this question. What inspired you to start your company? You already gave us a hint at that earlier, right? With your background and wanting to provide access to information, but maybe there's a little more. What actually, when it came to the point of starting the company, what inspired you to take that next step?
Well, believe it or not, it was an accident. So I was going to school studying international finance, and I signed up for a class called entrepreneurship. And in a typical student fashion, I was late with my homework assignment that was due the next day. And that was give us an idea for a business plan. So late at night, library closed, no internet at the time. What could I come up with? And I knew the name Berlitz. I kind of knew language industry. I had that inspiration in me connecting people. So I wrote a one pager, an idea for a business plan. And little did I know that I would be told that that's now my work for the rest of the semester. So, and then as I started researching the industry, and I was already doing some translation on the side as a, you know, part-time freelance work here and there. So then when I really learned about the industry, I really fell in love with it. And that homework assignment is now a company 30 years later.
Wow. Homework well done. Accomplished. Wow. Yeah. And then when you did start your first company, because I assume it's not the easiest thing to get a company just off the ground, when was maybe the first breakthrough that you remember that you had after starting the company?
Well, the first breakthrough was actually in the course of that first semester, because we had to research the industry and realizing that at that time, that was a $10 billion industry globally. Now we are, I think we just passed $60 billion as an industry globally. So I did not realize that the industry is that big, that even the industry existed. So that was the first breakthrough, realizing how big it is. And I guess every year is another breakthrough, learning new things since then. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I feel like you're not the only one. We keep talking about that people are surprised by how big the industry actually is. So Inga mentioned it earlier that I probably ask about this again, because it's just, you have such a fascinating background there with the lack of access to information and now wanting to provide that to other people. Yeah, can you tell us a little more about that, this whole providing access to information part?
The original inspiration started with growing up behind the Iron Curtain and wanting to connect cultures, truly believing that as people, when we get to know each other, we actually get to also love each other. And knowledge unites us as opposed to divides us. But one of the big drivers today is also realizing that, for example, Davos 2022 statistics, 3 billion people really don't have access to the digital world today. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
40% of the people don't have access to education in their language, and about 170 million people feed into extreme poverty because of that. So the driver of giving the voice to those without one, providing access to education, providing access to healthcare, judicial systems working here in the U.S., and then, of course, still working, because we originally started working with the oil and gas industry and heavy focus there. So we still do a lot of work with enterprise clients, but a big portion of our work as well is with healthcare and government organizations. And schools.
And I know you also, from having interviewed you before, I worked with you before a little bit, that you also do a lot for the deaf and hard of hearing community. So
absolutely, absolutely. Deaf and hard of hearing community is actually often very, very ignored and don't have the same opportunities as a lot of people do. So we're very involved with deaf community. And thank you for asking that question. I am often moved by the fact where the most educated person who is deaf may never get a chance for an interview at a company just because they're deaf and organizations don't know how to handle that. So we made it a point, we actually do hire all people, we hire deaf people in all kinds of different roles. One of the directors in our company is deaf. We have a customer service rep who is deaf and handles the same way calls as all the other customer service reps. So we have people in different roles. We now have a person on our sales team who's also deaf. Deaf people just speak a different language. That's all. That's the only difference. And hoping to make a difference in educating people about people with different abilities.
Absolutely. And when I did the research for NIMSY's ASL interpreting market study, it was really eye-opening for me as well as a hearing person who, you know, hadn't thought as much about it as I thought I should, as you know, I should have probably. I found out many things that really shocked me and surprised me. So I'm glad I did the research because now I do feel like I have a different view on it as well. And got in touch with a few deaf people as well. So that was great. Also, thanks to you. So thank you for that.
And we have a lot of things that we still can make as a difference. You know, one of the questions that I was asked or pointed to me is, why do drive-thrus have Braille? Blind people don't drive. So we as a community, as a society, don't really provide full access the way we can. And if we just open our eyes and fully embrace all members of our society, regardless of their abilities or their language background, I think we can build a much better, more beautiful world.
So now, Mila, coming back to your own career, you already said it earlier, right? Ready, fire, aim. Yeah, the other way around. So go for it and then adjust. And also, you know, it's not in the way, it's on the way. So also implying, which is completely normal for everybody, stumbles along the way. Yeah, we all make mistakes or whatever you want to call it. And then ideally you move on, you learn from them and you do better next time. Is there something that you can recall in your career that stands out like that, that like maybe was something that didn't go so well, but it led to a good lesson?
One of the big mistakes was focusing on just one industry, because originally we started as focusing only on oil and gas industry and growing there. And when the oil crisis, it's like a roller coaster, right? They go through the cycles very, very often. So we almost went out of business after a few years after starting up, when all the oil companies were shutting down, laying people off. So that was a very, very big lesson. So that's when we diversified, and since then we are no longer focused on just one industry or one type of service. So we provide all services and we're in multiple verticals. So that was a very, very hard lesson to learn.
On the other side, what was the biggest success in your company or in your career as well that you can recall?
So the biggest success for me is when I see that somebody who could not get access actually did. That's mm-hmm. when we provide an interpreter for a language everybody else gave up on. When nobody thinks that, oh, the sign language for this person from Africa who speaks a very rare sign language in the US, let's say Kenyan sign language, was suddenly provided an interpreter, or a language speaker of Abkhazian or Lisgian or a very rare Mayan dialect was able to get an interpreter in hospital, in court. You hear the thank yous, or you just, you know, if you're there, you can see the eyes of the people. And that's to me is the biggest success.
That's beautiful. Thank you. And then completely different now, but I'm just curious to how would you define your own leadership style, and what do you feel like makes you a great leader?
I don't know if I'm a great leader or not. I'm still learning. So I think my leadership style has evolved from, first of all, just getting things done. And when you start, you just want to get it done. But right now, the most important thing for me is making sure the people on the team that are working with me, that they're aligned to their values, they're in the right place, and they have the biggest opportunity for success. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like it's not the destination, it's the road that matters. And so my leadership style is in the way supporting the teams and letting people shine and asking the question, how can I help you?
Yeah. Thank you. Mila, I feel like I want to keep asking you more questions because this is such a great interview, but I also realize we're almost coming up on the time here. So I'm going to have to ask you the last question. So what advice would you give to young entrepreneurs who are starting their own business in the language industry today?
So listen to your dreams, listen to your heart, dream big, and just do it. It doesn't matter who tells you why can't things be done or why it can't be done. Just do it and don't let anything stop you.
That's great advice. Thank you.
I agree. That's great advice, Mila. Thank you so much for sharing, and thank you for joining us in the hot seat. We hope you didn't sweat too much. It doesn't look too warm over there. So
thank you. Thank you for having me.
It was a real pleasure. And if anyone else feels like letting off some steam and you're part of the C-suite at a company in the language services industry, sign up with us if you dare to sit in our hot seat.
And for the viewers at home, this was it for today. Thank you so much for watching, and watch out for the next episode that will be published as a video on Multilingual TV and as a podcast on the NIMSY website. We'll see you there.